We are back with another episode of Being Frank, the podcast where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. It's your girl, Malika X, and I'm super excited to start this new series with y'all. The series is titled Be the One. And I have to send a special shout out and dedicate this series to a former professor, mentor, and friend of mine, Dr. Brian D. Samuel. So if you're out there listening, I just want to thank you. He had a real way of talking to his students, and he said something that resonated with me throughout the years, and I carry it to this day, and I teach it to my students. He would say, and I quote, "Everybody ain't gonna make it. You just make sure you're not one of them," end quote. Brian, if you out there listening, I think I did a good job at making sure I wasn't one of them. Love and honor, my brother. And with that being said, let's start the show. Okay, so we are here for another show. I wanted to welcome you guys. And we're going to switch gears a little bit this week and give you something new on the podcast. I wanted to show everyone a different side of me and have a different perspective. I know we talked about the L word last time and all of the unpacking we had to do with labels. But this time I'm going to show you just, I guess, get in touch with my human side and give them a human experience. I know I led into with one of the episodes that I'm a survivor. So in this series, we're going to just talk about some things and experiences that we've survived, whether they're fun, funny, or more serious things. But I think everybody could add to that conversation of being survivors of something. It's not just people that have survived cancer, because I've survived even more than that. So today on the show, I have two guests, y'all. Yay. Yes. Hi. So let's state your name for the record and give the people a little background. We're going to start just with that first. And be mindful while we're doing this, not to talk over each other. We got to play fair and give everybody equal amount of mic time. So where are we going to start?
Okay, so my name is Curtis, but a lot of people know me and call me CJ. I am
all of that time.
Hey. It wasn't recorded.
Let me. Oh, child, my phone like yes. Okay, just checking.
Okay, so if you didn't get that, my name is Curtis, aka CJ. I am from Spartanburg, South Carolina, born and raised. I am currently 28 years old. I'm about to be 29 in a few weeks. Shout out to all the Geminis out
there. Oh, Lord. Double-sided folks.
Our season Lord. Coming up.
We don't really fuck with you, to be honest. But you said you're from Spartanburg. Did you say what you did? I know we was having a little technical difficulty. Sorry, y'all. This is live.
I am currently in the military, specifically the Navy.
Child of Navy, I keep telling y'all.
I've been in the Navy for 7 years. This year will be my 7th year in August. So,
oh my God, he brings so much to the table. CJ, we cannot wait to hear from you. And our other guest.
Hi, guys.
His alter ego.
My name is Randall, and I'm also from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Child, Sparkle City is in the house.
As well. Yes, upstate, 8-4. And I'm a realtor here in Charleston.
Okay. You just said you're just gonna be a realtor while we on the show. You ain't gonna talk about your 9-to-5 like Tommy. Okay. We don't know what the fuck this nigga do.
Well, I also have another full time job as a contract administrator.
Contract administrator.
Yes.
What do you do?
I manage federal contracts.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. I guess I get that. I know what that mean or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those people that are out there that are contractors. I guess you know what that means, contract administrators. Yes. So let's jump right into the tea, honey. I had you guys listen to the show before, and we just talked about LGBTQIA community for the entire series. So this is not going to be that. But I do, for the record, want to kind of talk about, you know, how we identify. And I put it out there in my last episode. I did it all about me. So let's start with CJ. How do you identify? And tell the people a little bit about, if you want to go into the labels.
Okay, so I identify as a gay man. More specifically, what do you want to know? Like,
top, bottom, first. I don't know. You know. I don't know. I'm okay. Just saying, is there anything else that they need to know? I don't know. Gay man, we can stop there if you want to.
No, it's cool. I am a verse top.
Okay, verse tops, yes. Out there. Randall.
Yes.
Identify, how do you identify?
I'm a gay male as well. I mean, I don't know all the other acronyms. I'm just a gay male.
Right.
I recently learned that I guess I would be considered, what's that, cis? The CIS term? And it means
cis, I don't know what that means.
Identify with how you were born, or
have you?
I just learned it, child.
Child, speak what you know. Speak what you know.
Right, and I'm gay, a verse top as well.
Verse top. Yeah. So when we talk about verse, and I just had to add this because we never, the girls, we don't be like we verse. We just have sex. What does verse mean for the listeners who aren't really privy to the language of, you know, understanding our LGBTQ community?
Someone who's verse tops or bottoms, depending upon the circumstance.
Okay.
They can do both.
Let's and clear
just,
it up.
If you are claiming just fully verse, then you like both equally.
Right.
Oh.
So, but if you
but
are
you
like
say verse top.
Which means we prefer.
You prefer top, but you.
But we will bottom for the right person.
So who do you bottom for?
Well, I don't usually bottom unless I'm in relationships.
Right.
I have to really like you. Like, and really be feeling. Oh, you gotta be fine. Like.
Okay.
I'm the same.
Okay.
Usually, people that I bottom for, I've been in a relationship with. There's been a few that kind of got around it, but
they backdoored you, no pun intended.
It's very few though, so if y'all listening, y'all was lucky.
Yes, you better tell them about the treasure chest.
They had the key, honey. They had the key. So to keep the show moving, we could laugh and talk about that all day. Just how did we meet? And I know, CJ, we met through Randall. So I'll let Randall begin this story, and then you could jump in and just talk about how we met and give a little background.
Okay. Well, I met Malika at a networking event.
Mm-hmm.
At the Loft. You were with Walt, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I was with my best friend.
I don't even know how we started talking.
I knew he was a gay.
Like, whatever. They just gravitated toward me, I guess. I don't know. Mm. We started conversing, you know, networking a little bit. And then after that, you started inviting me to different things. We exchanged numbers. Then I think I came over one day. And then from there, I was introduced to the rest of our group of friends.
Crew. So we was at a networking event at the Aloft. And these networking events, oftentimes, we're not going to say whose events they were, I would say they oftentimes had a crowd full of the kids.
Yes.
And, you know, Randall was there scoping the kids out. I feel like he wasn't there for me, scoping me out. We ended up exchanging numbers.
I was there for business purposes. I was networking.
So he claims, if you can see this air quote we doing right now. But then, you know, as time went on, we hung out more. And like you said, you was introduced to crew. And now we're roommates.
Two years, we are.
You know, in. And it's kind of become a real family. I know we throw that word around loosely. But then CJ came along. I don't know how long ago.
When did I meet you?
It's been a year already.
Last May.
Yeah, so me and Randall kind of grew up together. We became friends when we were younger, probably like 10, 11 years old. My step-grandmother lived across the street from him and his mom, and all the kids used to play together. So that's how I ended up meeting Randall. And so when I found out that I potentially could be moving to Charleston for work, you know, I knew that he was living here. So it was... only right for us to just link up when I got here. So mm-hmm. that's how I ended up meeting you. When I came down when I actually moved here, I, you know, spent the night a couple nights. the first week I got here until my place got situated. And it's been, you know, fun ever since.
Right. I don't even remember, like, the actual time. What you mean, link up?
Like, it's not like we weren't talking before you moved here.
That's true.
Like,
that's
oh, I mean, you're
right. Like, no.
When I moved here, that was kind of like the...
Coming back together, right, I feel. Because I don't remember hearing about CJ.
I used to see you, like, every so often.
Every, like, Christmas, every holiday, we would link up. Every time we went home.
True.
In Sparkle City, murder capital of South Carolina, baby.
That's a lie.
Honey, which brings me to how these two are even friends. Because there's a dichotomy that exists amongst you two. I'm just saying, that's why I had them on the show together. They're, like, best friends. Grew up in the same city.
We are alike in so many ways, and we're different in so many ways. And I think I think both of the differences and the likes kind of like bring us together.
The balance.
Right. Mm,
yes.
So differences is that I see all the time. Like, I feel like Randall is, if we was using political terms, more conservative. And you're more liberal. I mean, not to say that's how you vote or anything like that. Your military background and, you know, I just feel street from you. You always got on these fresh, dope sneakers and dope hats and shit. And, you know, you giving me hood like I'm from Spartanburg. You know, I'm like, I'm getting a picture of home when I see you. Then I see Randall. And Randall gives me conservative Charlestonian seersucker suit. How the fuck did y'all make this relationship work? Like,
it's crazy. It's definitely crazy because I feel like we both were kind of brought up, you know, the same, I would say, like, in the same situation.
On the same street.
But
right.
It's parentals.
Your father, you had relationships prior to this. Randall,
what?
You didn't. You really were kind of in the house and not outside, not in them streets.
Yeah, I was always in the house.
I was out there.
Or at, I was at house. Yeah. Or at church.
Church!
Or at work.
How could I forget church queen? Yes. Church Ooh. Mother.
Ooh.
But it's just so different. But because y'all come from the same environment, the next question is just like, and we're going into this series, I spoke a little bit about of it, and just talking about surviving things. Mm-hmm. And we know how Spartanburg is, the reputation it has, but it grew y'all, you know.
It did.
And y'all are from there, and y'all represent our community well. Y'all represent Black men well. So just tell me the first three things really that come to your mind that you've survived. Like, if we were talking about surviving things, and it could be something serious, funny, like I said before. So kick it off for us, Randall. Just three things you survived.
I have survived, of course, I guess my surroundings, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Palisade Street. I grew up in Palisade, loved it, but I did, I guess, survive the surroundings. A lot of people didn't really do anything, I guess, beyond high school or what have you. So I survived that environment. I also survived different, I guess, relationships, broken relationships, dating relationships, also insecurities and things of that sort. I also survived those as well.
Speak to that for a second and pause right there, because you went into relationships, then you went into insecurities.
Right.
But those are two different things.
Right.
So we're at like three things.
Yes.
Your community, environment, you know, relationships, which we can go into that a little deeper. Oh,
Lord.
Jesus. And insecurities. Just tell us a little bit about those.
Well, I've been in relationships where, well, they just weren't healthy. They were toxic. And the ending of those relationships, well, let's go. Throughout the relationships, I have experienced insecurities, low self-esteem, just, and I didn't realize what I saw growing up, I took into relationships, such as like the arguing, the getting up and leaving or walking away.
So the environment influencing the way you had relations with people that led to those insecurities.
Right. And it also, things I went through growing up also developed trust issues for me, as well as abandonment issues. And I took those into relationships also. So I dealt with a lot in my most recent relationship, and I just wasn't in a good space mentally. So when it ended, I feel like I went through like a slight depression. I mean, I drink now, which everybody knows. But I remember drinking for like 25 days straight. Like, all I wanted to do was drink. I would smoke. I would go sleep. Just to not think about anything and just get up and, you know.
So you survived depression.
Yeah.
You survived depression as well.
But now, today, you know, I've taken all that power back. And I'm so happy where I am. And I feel like my breakup was the best thing that could happen to me. And it really groomed me and shaped me and made me who I am. And also, I always tell you guys, meeting you guys really helped save my life as well. Because you guys exposed me to different things and just gave me a real solid friends group and kind of pushed me. Because, you know, I've always kind of been reserved to certain places I didn't go, certain things.
Right,
I
was like, conservative.
But now I'm just out here living my best life. And I love it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You never know about the relationships you're going to make and the bridges, you know, so it's
and
important.
It was right on time.
So yes, God is always working, child. So, CJ, kind of speaking to that. First three things you think of that you survived.
Okay, so the first one is, I would say, being a teen parent.
Yes,
Lord.
So
doing an awesome job. Your girl is bad.
Thank you.
Violin playing, options having, GT scoring,
military.
But that wasn't always the case. You fought for her.
So
dope.
I was 16 when she was born, and me and her mom, we were in a relationship at that time or whatever, and. You know, I was in high school and, you know, a lot of people were, you know, having babies back then.
Absolutely.
And I seen a lot of people, you know, not finish school as far as high school, you know, and just go down this path that, you know, I never wanted to go down. So I kind of made it my mission to, you know, make sure that I still did what I needed to do as well as, you know, do the things that I needed or what she needed me to do.
Right.
You know,
setting a solid foundation for her for her future.
And you know, it's been a long road. You know, in the beginning it was definitely hard, but you know, I had my whole side of the family, you know, they were real supportive as far as like my mom, my grandma, my aunt, you know, all the women on my side of the family. You know, they were there for me. They helped me out whenever I needed. They still help me out to this day. And, you know, I'm so thankful for, you know, my family. Because that's, you know, that's at the end of the day, that's really all you got.
You wouldn't have survived without them.
I would not have.
Right.
It would have been a whole different type of story. The second thing, so I guess struggling with, you know, my sexuality.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
I be gay. And there's some, now I'm just like, I'm just gay.
Yeah,
like,
that was tough, too. The whole coming out and all that stuff.
It was weird because for me, it's like, it was there. It was like obvious. Just looking back on my childhood, it was obvious. Everybody knew, you know what I'm saying? But nobody had that conversation with me as far as like my family members. And I feel like I wish that somebody would have just had some type of conversation to see like where my head was as far as sexuality goes. And because I didn't officially come out until I was 18 after I graduated high school.
Okay, so but it was early on. Some people will be in the closet for a while.
It was early, but you know, I feel like, you know, I don't regret, you know, having my child at a young age, but I feel like if I would have came out earlier, things would have been different. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, that was
definitely a big one.
Yeah. I kind of wrapped that all into one.
Yeah, but it's two separate things.
It is.
It is.
So, I guess the third one, I would say,
You smiling, so it must be good.
No,
honey.
It's
we
really
on the
bad,
edge of our seat here. What?
I can like smile about it now,
right? Because you survived
because
it.
I survived it, but it was kind of like my first relationship. It was terrible.
Mm.
It was abusive. Mm. Like we used to fight all the time. We used to argue all the time, and I really didn't. This is one thing that I think that gay people go through when they're like in their first stages, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? They you don't really
when you
know,
don't have the confidence, when you have insecurity.
It's a lot that can play factors into, you know, things just going bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't know like what is really going on. And then especially like the guy that I was dating, he was a couple years older than me. So I was 18, he was like 21, 22. So he had already like he's been
in the life
there,
more
so,
experience
exactly so
I'll say that
so, like,
more
he took
experience.
Advantage of the situation mm-hmm. especially my age and me not
new.
Me being a new gay
a new gay, yes.
So you know that was definitely something that I had to overcome because if I would have just let that just take me down, who knows where I would be right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I am a single parent. I feel like I am the embodiment of like the word independent. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? 'Cause I try not to have to ask anybody for anything.
Right, right.
As far as
surviving on your own.
Exactly. Right. I want to prove to myself that I am strong enough to do things on my own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As far as whatever it goes, like bills, raising my child.
Right.
You know.
Providing a shelter
anything,
because you about to close on a home, baby.
Home.
Yes. We're Cinco de Mayo. We cheers and
yes,
toasting it up. Countdown to
closing.
Yes. Right here. Doing big things. Big
yes.
things popping
yes.
over this
I'm
way.
About to be a new homeowner.
Only
yes.
28.
Yes,
you keep saying 29 because it's
I'm
coming. It's coming. He's still
but,
a baby, though, but doing great things.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so my life is... It's a whirlwind, but I really don't think that I would change any of it because, you know, it led me here.
Right, and right in this place right now,
so,
in this time. So I was going to ask, because, you know, they often say about with survivors, you have guilt. So was there any guilt thinking about those three situations? And you kind of touched on that a little bit where you said you don't regret any of it. But do you have or hold any type of survivor's guilt? Thinking about those three things that you spoke of. I know.
I don't think I hold any guilt. No. As far as me surviving like, or like leaving
yep.
my neighborhood where
yeah.
I grew up and stuff, no, I don't.
No.
I'm glad I got out. And but also me, I've been wanting to go back as well. Like
mm-hmm.
I try to help like my family members, my cousins, you know, whether it's with resumes, whether it's at the third. But I found myself being more concerned with their progress than
right.
they were. I found myself doing more to kind of help them grow than they want to do for themselves. So my thing is I gave them the tools. All I can do is be an example. I was the first person in my family to go to college and all
mm-hmm.
that good stuff. And I do have a cousin who's in college now. I'm glad that she followed that example. But all I can do right now is be an example. But I'm not guilty at all. Like, no.
Did you find yourself at some points working oh, hard, like you said, harder for them because you did want to see them.
Yeah, I still want to see them all prosper, all grow. Like, as a family, I don't like being the token. I'm the
right.
token. I'm the one who's done the most, who has experienced the most.
Very well educated, private schools.
Like,
I told y'all
yeah,
that they was different.
That's another reason why I guess we're different.
Child, he survived predominantly white
private school
high
well.
School and then went on to do a predominantly
yeah.
white college.
Yeah, but there
like,
are a lot of
university.
Black people in college, I feel like.
Child, not
now,
in Charleston.
In high school, and
no,
sorry. High school, I was the only black person in my grade from 7th
Unreal.
To 12th grade.
Yes.
So I did survive that. That was, you know, it did get
ooh,
hard at times. I felt like
yes,
I was.
Yes, that's different.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I said, where do y'all two
and
come
because,
from? How
you know,
are y'all
I was
friends?
From the, I was from the hood. These were like
well established.
Yes, who ran Spartanburg, who had money, who had
right.
old money. like
blue chip type kids.
Yes.
So because your high difficult. School was like Gryffindor.
Yes.
For
the Griffins.
Right. It literally was.
So they had. So they didn't always understand, you know, or certain things I couldn't talk to them right. about. Like,
did you feel guilty in that situation where you didn't have and your family didn't, you know, couldn't, yeah, you did. Know, think
I,
about
and
that?
I felt a little shame, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never invited my friends to my house. Like, none of that. I remember when I had my first car, everybody was getting all these new cars. My mom bought me a little car for $600. That's what she could do. And, you know, I was yes. embarrassed.
At least but, you had that. Right, I ain't even
I
had it.
I was a little embarrassed. But now that I've gotten older, I really, you know, I would not trade my upbringing for the world. Like, right. I'm really glad I grew up where I grew up and experienced what I experienced.
Right. Some things but you no, can take away
was,
from mine.
It was difficult. And I always felt like, I don't know, I had to, like, overcompensate.
Right.
I was the only black person. And certain things were, was it, expected of me, so it was a little difficult. Now, I mean, I love it now. Right. I love my friends, and I would do high school all over again, but it was hard when I was going through. I didn't want to go. My mom made me go.
Right.
That's the first
what
thing.
About you, CJ? Any guilt surviving those things?
I wouldn't say guilt. You know, there are a lot of things that I wish could have gone a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, at the same time, struggle or pressure makes
mm-hmm.
diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, everything, I feel like everything happens for a reason, and, you know, you're never, there's never too much put on you than you can bear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, so, no.
Okay.
The answer. Everything you go through happens for a reason, and it gets you to your purpose. That's how
right.
I feel. Like,
to walk in your truth.
Right. I wouldn't trade anything. Everything happened for a reason. It was supposed to happen to get me to where I'm supposed to be.
And thinking about that, like, what is that defining moment where you realize through those struggles that that was God's plan for you? Like, what was the defining moment? Do you remember or recall just like, damn, this is where I'm supposed to be. I gotta go through this.
I would say as far as being a parent, when my daughter came down here to live,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, for one, I joined the military to be able to provide for her and, you know, try to show her more than what, you know, everybody from Spartanburg are able to see,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people that are from Spartanburg are from Spartanburg, live in Spartanburg, die in Spartanburg.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like Cleveland,
and
baby.
That is, that definitely wasn't the life that I wanted, and it's definitely not the life that I wanted for my child. So, you know, I feel like I had to sacrifice a lot of time, you know, away from her,
mm-hmm.
to be able to be at this point.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So, you know, I forgot where.
What was the defining moment? That was the defining moment.
Exactly.
When
so,
she came.
Yeah. So she's here now. I remember it used to be so many times that I would have to just, you know, sit on the phone with her and just hear how, like, unhappy she was in her situation.
Mm.
And it, not trying to like talk bad about her mom or anything, but she just wasn't doing, or she wasn't putting her in the type of situations that, you know,
where she could thrive,
right?
Like you are doing
that
now.
Or even like a situation where a child should be in, you know what I'm saying? It was definitely hood,
yes,
hooder than most, you know what I'm saying? And that, like, I didn't grow up like that, so
right.
I'm not feeling,
cause we couldn't be around
like
grown folks while
we
they was doing their business, honey.
We
stay out of grown folks' business. Randall, what was your defining moment?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I have like a defining moment.
Well, you walk in, live in your purpose. You said
yes,
that. So what was it when the light bulb went off? Like, what happened?
I guess one day I realized that, you know, because we go through things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think one day I realized that even though, you know, I don't really like to be the token, I had to be that example
yes.
for my family. I was chosen to do that.
Yep.
For some reason,
to carry that cross.
To,
yes.
influenced my family to go and obtain a lot of knowledge to bring back to them, because I still do it, whether they listen to me or not. I mean, some of them do. I, you know, grew up in my environment the way I did, and then went to private school the way I did, and then went to college and all that stuff for them at the end of the day. And I feel like everybody who comes behind me, I've been able to set a good example. And my goal, I'm determined to change the cycle of
break
my family.
Them chains,
I'm breaking the generational curses, and I'm going to establish wealth for my family at the end of the day.
Awesome. So it sounds like you figured out what matters most in that statement you just said. And I know that this podcast is all about living your authentic self, and we do a really good job of that. But if there's something out there that you can tell people just about how, you know, we kind of live, and I would say with the podcast, our little tagline is to be bold, honest, and unmistakable. And thinking about this series of survival, I want you to finish this statement. So thinking about what do they need to hear, our listeners, you never know who this message is going to go to. So I'm going to give you a statement, and I want you to finish the statement. Okay? So the statement is, be the one to, or be the one who. So, who gonna start? Randall, you sound like you ready. You over there.
Right.
Be the one.
Be the one who, I can say a lot. Honestly.
Okay, go ahead.
Be the one who chases their dreams, goes after what they want, regardless of what other people have to say. Sometimes you have to be the first.
Yes.
There's definitely nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you have to be the example. But yeah, be the one who, in spite of all of your surroundings and the things that have affected you or have happened to you, who overcomes that and still proves people wrong. Like, defy the statistic at the end of the day. Like,
CJ, be the one who...
Okay, so this is for, you know, all of the parents out there, especially the gay parents, the gay male parents.
Yes, because we have kids.
They are out there.
Yes.
There's a lot of gay men who have kids. And I just want to say, you know, be the one who shows your kid or your children, you know, something different other than what they're used to, or, you know, show them that you are able to, you know, hold it down by yourself, or, you know, that you are able to show them, you know, more than what they're used to. Just let your kids be kids while they're, you know, growing up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like a lot of people put pressure on their children
in
for
every walk
reason,
of life,
you know,
honey.
What I'm saying?
Not
for
just
reason.
In our gay lifestyle, queer lifestyle, every walk
a
of life.
A lot of pressure is put on kids, and I feel like their only job is to be a kid. You know what I'm saying? And you have to, you know, make up for the rest of it. You know what I'm saying? You have to provide for them. You have to make sure that they have what they need and the tools that they need to become an adult. You know what I'm saying? You are grooming an adult. You are teaching a child how to be an adult as you raise them.
Right.
You know
this
what I'm saying?
Legacy.
So when that child becomes an adult, if they, you know, aren't doing things that, you know, you feel like they should do, that might be a reflection of what you showed them.
That mirror, baby.
Exactly. So, you know, just do as much as you can for your kids.
All right. With that said, I say thank you for being frank and joining me this week.
Anytime, girl.
Is there anything you want to say or clear up? Any, you know, just things you want to put out there, shameless plugs, anything like that for the people, any hashtags or social media names you want to give for the people? Anybody?
You know, well, my Twitter is CJ underscore O underscore CJ. CJ is spelled out C-E-E-J-A-Y. You can follow me. That is my Twitter as well. And did I say Twitter?
That's
my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. It's
and my Snapchat.
Yep.
So, also, I wanted to give a shout out to my boyfriend.
Yes.
Come on, Jamarius, a.k.a. Jay. This month is our 2-year anniversary.
Awesome. Yes. So, the gays can have relationships, y'all. I'm in one. You know, yes. Randall working on that. We
Nine on the way.
Right. Boaz is coming. So. Randall, you want to... Well, any shameless plugs?
As I said earlier, I'm a realtor here in Charleston. So if you're thinking about moving into the area, if you know to move to the area, you can always hit me up. You can follow me on Instagram, R. Fernandez. I may have to spell that for you guys.
It's Spanish. Don't even have me going there because this motherfucker. I've been trying. Look, we had a real good conversation, and I wasn't even cursing this whole time because it's been real. But this motherfucker got a Spanish name, and that's a whole nother thing.
That's a different
thing.
Day. Fernandez, yes, R. Fernandez, underscore realtor on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook, and just Randall Fernandez.
And he's following the page, so just find him there. If you are looking for a home here in the Charleston area, this market is white hot. CJ is closing on his home, and we congratulate you on that, brother, because shit is...
And I'm his realtor, of course.
I mean, we thought we said that. Money going, baby. Money going. And we're going to end it there. I thank y'all again for being frank. And y'all know where to catch me if you have questions. Social at beingfrankmedia.com. That's our show for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with something meaningful and a better understanding of the topics we discussed. Remember, I'm going to keep grinding and keep hustling to give you this dope content. If you have questions, remember legit questions, you can always send those in to social at beingfrankmedia.com. Again, that's social, S-O-C-I-A-L, at beingfrankmedia. You can now find this podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Public Radio, y'all. Your girl doing her thing. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Being Frank Media, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Peace. I just wanted to say, stay tuned for a special outtake of the conversation as it continued to progress between these best friends when they thought I turned the recorder off. It's a good one, and I thought it was necessary to put it on, even though it doesn't really deal directly with the topics of the podcast, but you can get to see the dynamics of the two friends.
even if it was man-made or written, I would have got me through a lot of stuff. And it's all about your beliefs at the end of the day.
It is.
In my case. So, let's find the thing.
I love how we can have drinks, listen to trap music, and discuss
talk about God.